Welcome to Highly Questionable. It creeps me out every time. It's worse than whistling into a microphone. It's cracking your neck into a microphone. That's Pablo Torre. That's Sarah Spain. Sarah's the one who whistles into the microphone all the time.
How about this?
Oh! Oh, man.
Could you see the Seahawks actually trading Russell Wilson?
What is happening? Like, I don't know if this is going to be the offseason where the NFL turns into the NBA in terms of player personnel, in terms of player movement, either because, you know, Tom Brady showed everybody how to do it, or maybe Deshaun Watson opened up the idea of, like, an NFL quarterback transfer portal. But either way, this is going to be – that's either going to be that or it's going to be the biggest offseason of bluffs ever. But this is the most conversation we've ever had in that regard when it comes to really good QBs changing teams. And Russell Wilson, the potential of him changing teams sort of ramped up when he went on a couple of platforms this week and said, I'm tired of getting hit. And it was ramped up a little more when Dan Patrick said that a source told him that that might not be a sustainable relationship anymore between Russell Wilson and the front office. And so what's interesting to me is if you look at sort of the drafting and you look at the way the Seahawks were created in that Super Bowl winning team, it was taking advantage of amazing drafts, not just Russell Wilson, but a lot of defensive players. And if you look since he's been there, they've drafted an offensive lineman every year. And every year other than 2014 have drafted one in the top four rounds. So that tells me, it sort of makes me look at this differently. It's not, hey, the Seahawks aren't valuing Russell Wilson's protection. It's they've been pretty bad at it, either drafting the player or coaching the player up. So if I'm Russell, I'm thinking, even if I have say in the personnel, it might not change the way this line is protecting me. So maybe he's forcing his way out instead of asking for control because he thinks control won't be enough.
So it's not a good sign, Izzy, that Russell Wilson feels obligated or compelled for the first time ever, really, to air these grievances out in public to someone like Dan Patrick. Because if you're doing that publicly, it means that what you're doing privately probably is not so effective, which does not bode well for any relationship, right? But the thing about this relationship and the NBAification of the NFL, I mean, the NFL likes to think it's so tough. Like, you're a bunch of tough guys, right? What has he really said? He said, I really don't like that I'm getting sacked more than any other human being in the NFL since I entered the NFL. He's talking about how in very like careful terms, even still, he would like more help. Like if this is going to be the NBAification of anything, like you're going to have to sit out games. You're going to have to give awkward press conferences. You're going to have to go on Instagram and start like leaking some stuff. The NBA is so far ahead of the soap opera stuff. This is like someone for the first time saying anything even vaguely controversial and Pete Carroll just falling on top of his fainting couch.
Yeah, I mean, it's for obvious reasons. It's the weakness of their union. It's the number of players per roster. It's the value of their contracts and how much money is guaranteed. Like, there's a reason why NBA players are able to force things through much more easily than NFL players. But to your point, Pablo, it's worth paying attention to when Russell Wilson is saying anything other than exactly what the franchise wants, right? That's who he is. So as much as this isn't James Harden skipping practice for a strip club, this is about the Russell Wilson equivalent of that, is to go on a show and say, I don't know, maybe I am available. Ask the Seahawks, right? Complaining about things. And to your point, Izzy, I don't know what's worse. Being able to say you haven't tried hard enough in the past, let's start trying. Or being able to accurately say they've tried and it hasn't worked. Because to your point, let's say of the 8 offensive linemen that they've drafted since 2016, only 4 are still on the team and only 2 of them did anything of significance last season. So do they need to make better selections? I think that's clear, right? Because if you can argue that they've drafted a lineman almost every year, and yet this is still the glaring problem year after year from them, they aren't good at selecting linemen. So for Russell Wilson, it might be, okay, you've tried, you've shown me that it doesn't work, so I do need to go somewhere else. If you'd asked me a couple days ago, is there any chance that Russ is out? I would have said, no, no, this is just like one of those things where he needs to put this out in public so that he can really force their hand. And now I'm not sure. I'm seeing a lot of Russ to the Raiders that's looking pretty compelling. Now, also, I need to make sure I can separate my own personal desire for there to be complete and utter chaos so that the Bears might end up with one of these quarterbacks from the actual reality of what's going on. And I'm not really sure where that line is right now.
Pablo, to your point, I don't think anybody has dumbed this down enough for me to really laugh at Russell Wilson basically said, can I get out of here? Because it hurts.
It hurts so much. Yeah. But by the way, if we can just focus on the question that we were asked on this show, because it wasn't will Russell Wilson be traded, which is like probably not. It's not could Russell Wilson be traded, which like maybe, but also probably not. It's Could you see Russell Wilson get traded? And in that case, absolutely. I will see anything you want me to see for money.
Are the Lakers playing LeBron too much, or does it not even matter with him?
It's a heck of a question. LeBron has just played in his third straight overtime game. Last night's a one-point win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. He did last night's game without Anthony Davis, who's still out with an Achilles injury. He has also recently voiced lament for the All-Star game actually happening, especially because it's been such a short offseason for him, obviously last year with the bubble ending in October. This all brings into question his minutes and whether he is sort of being run into the ground by Frank Vogel. He is averaging 34.7 minutes a game, which is about the same as last year, which was a career low. But if you look at sort of the varying ways that coaches look at this, Steve Kerr has said, we're not going to play Steph Curry extra minutes or extra games, just chasing W's. His health is what's most important. It feels like Frank Vogel isn't following that same theory here by playing him every single game, and presumably he will play in this All-Star game. Do we think he needs to hold back because the Lakers, when whole and with LeBron James healthy, seem to be the best team out there, regardless of record, regardless of standing, and in this postseason, probably won't be as much of a home court advantage again in the postseason. I think if I'm Frank Vogel, I'm giving the dude a day off or two. He doesn't have to go full Tom Brady and play every single game and win a Super Bowl. Just give me some days off.
Well, it's been 8 years since we started asking if LeBron James is playing. I'm sure people are even asking before that, but it's been almost a decade of us asking, do we need to give LeBron James a break? And over, he has proved to us, both with the amount of money invested in that body and then that body's ability to withstand injury, that he can do it. Now, in this case, I do think, Izzy, that comment from him about the All-Star game is what's sort of needling at us here. We're thinking about the way he talked about his exhaustion, the way that he talked about how he hadn't signed up for that and he needed a break. And we're sort of internalizing that looking ahead. I think it's smart to be wary of how much you're playing him now, because at some point it might catch up. It's kind of like the Tom Brady thing. We keep saying that age is undefeated and then they keep disproving it. So I'm not arguing that we should worry about him falling off a cliff, but because we also understand that the regular season in the NBA isn't as important as we used to think it was. We've seen teams thrive and then fail in the postseason. That balance, especially with this roster that returned most of the folks that were there last year for that winning team, they don't need it as much as a team that needs to get their chemistry like the Nets or something, right? This is a team that added some pieces and they need to adjust to them, but should be able to come back in the postseason, even if they don't have a full 100% LeBron James for a couple games.
I just think it's very generous of you guys to even really care or even theorize about what Frank Vogel wants in this. Because if I know anything about how LeBron James is living his life, he is deciding everything that is happening to him. If he is going to play this many minutes, it's because LeBron James wants to play in this many minutes. He wants to play this many overtimes. He wants to, I think, and this is not a real spoiler alert for anybody, he wants to be considered the Tom Brady and beyond of the NBA. Winning another MVP this season, I think, is very important to LeBron James. Otherwise, he wouldn't really be doing any of this. So I think LeBron wants to play these minutes. That's why he's playing these minutes. I will only caution everybody else on the Lakers and in sports, really, to not say what someone like Kyle Kuzma said, which is, quote, being tired is just in your head. Like, I think that's true of LeBron James, singular greatest right. of all time candidate. But from Kyle Kuzma, that just has, like, big Jesse Spano energy, right? Like, yeah, it's only tired in your head until you are so, so scared.
Up next on HQ.
Does Giannis deserve this? Yeah, kind of. I mean, the guy's the reigning MVP. And by the way, all we do otherwise with someone like, I don't know, I'll pick a name out of total random thin air here. Ben Simmons. How do we deal with Ben Simmons, who specifically knows he can't hit those shots? We yell at him for not trying to do exactly what Giannis did. Ben Simmons would have passed to Chris Middleton, and we would have killed him for it. So I'm just saying, hey, Giannis, it could be worse.
Do you question if Giannis deserved better than this after his 47-point performance?
Well, the Bucks and the Suns played last night. Giannis, as you just heard, had 47. But the Suns, who people are starting to figure out are actually good, they won the game. This was Giannis on the last possession trying for his team.
Inbound to Giannis with two.
No. I mean, it's a dream situation if he's pulling up for a jumper. Oh, by the way, look to your right. Chris Middleton's wide.
Yeah. Chris Middleton so open and so good at shooting threes.
As if the entire sports world or basketball watching world didn't know this already, Devin Booker told you how the Phoenix Suns were feeling as Giannis was.
But what were you thinking when Giannis got that last look?
That we're in good shape.
Woo. Right? And to be fair, there was more of that answer to Devin Booker, but that's sure. All you need to know there, right? That's what everybody else watching said. Good defense. He's shooting a jumper. Good job, Suns.
Yeah, the original question was, does he deserve better? And you want to say so when you're a superstar who put up 47. On the other hand, this is the story. This is the book on Giannis. And if you want to get to that next level, there's an aspect of your game that needs to improve, or you need to know your limitations and not be the superstar finisher, be the superstar who puts up points all games and then dishes to somebody who can hit that shot. Also, is that a pocket on Devin Booker's shirt, or is it a logo of a triangle? Is it a really weird, very small triangle pocket?
Oh, it does look like it could be a little flip-up tiny pocket. That's next level.
I think there's something in it, or is that his pec?
Wow. I mean, I'm not rich enough to have a shirt with a tiny triangle pocket or a secret pec pocket, I suppose. I will simply point out that we are very kind to Giannis all the time. Like, does Giannis deserve this? Yeah, kind of. I mean, the guy's the reigning MVP. And by the way, all we do otherwise with someone like, I don't know, I'll pick a name out of total random thin air here. Ben Simmons. How do we deal with Ben Simmons, who specifically knows he can't hit those shots? We yell at him for not trying to do exactly what Giannis did. Ben Simmons would have passed to Chris Middleton, and we would have killed him for it. So I'm just saying, hey, Giannis, it could be worse. It could be a lot worse.
Folks, get yourself somebody that thinks about you as often as Pablo thinks about Ben Simmons. Always in that dude's mind.
Do you question if the Lombardi Trophy means less to Tom Brady than it used to?
Oh, man, I got to admit something pretty embarrassing. Yesterday, I saw the video, or one of the videos we're about to see here, and I text the producer of the show, oh, we have to get Tom Brady on the show, as if it was some sort of, like, quiet little video that nobody was going to pay attention to. Anyway, here's some of that video of the boat parade after the Bucks won the world championship, and Tom Brady is being, well, he's being Tom Brady. Angles on this video.
That is absolutely, I've never identified with Tom Brady more. I will say, as the father of a very small daughter, I one day want to be that guy as my daughter in the background is like, please stop. No, do not do that.
I just want to take this opportunity to tell my favorite story again, where I was in the Cubs World Series parade throwing glass bottles of beer from the top of a double-decker bus to Jake Arrieta and Kyle Schwarber on their bus because they had run out of alcohol, which is one of the crowning achievements of my entire life.
Wow.
Well, you probably looked a little bit like Tom Brady did here after he got off the boat. We have to be careful about what we're saying here, but Tom Brady himself said he might have had too much avocado tequila. Which, I mean, he's not just getting younger. He's getting more relatable and more likable. This is freshman year of college for everybody. I love this guy.
This is me when I've never been so jealous of a parade in my life. I've been stuck in my damn house. It's been snowing for 11 straight days. And they're in the sun on a boat getting publicly drunk. It's all I've ever wanted in life, and especially the last 2 weeks.
I just love that there are people in suits covering this. Like, it's still like a congressional investigation. It's like, sir, Mr. Brady, how did it feel winning your 7th ring? And he's just like, bleh.
But look at him, though.
Like, that guy in the suit. Mess,
he still looks amazing. Like, he's got his sunglasses on. You can't see the crazy eyes. And now, post-celebration, we've got some sound bites from Tom Brady, Jason Light, and Bruce Arians. You're going to love them.
So happy for our team. Everyone get to experience this. This is a very cool day.
First boat parade in your career?
Yeah. There were duck boats before, but it was freezing cold. There was nothing like this.
There you go.
80 degrees.
This is perfect.
I mean,
perfect weather.
What a nice day.
And anybody that says run it back, all right, that's Kansas City. We're going for two. All right, we're going for two, and we ain't stopping. All right.
Resources to keep all you guys together and to keep you next year, and we're going to win this thing again, all right?
So everybody went back to their college days, just dropping bombs all over the place. This might have been, those are great celebrations. This one might have been the best one from Devin White.
Wow.
It's his horse thing. Now, he did say he was going to be nude, right?
But anyone who's, but guys, he's riding a horse in shorts, which feels like a giant win for anybody.
Yeah, I've only heard one line. If you're uncomfortable, that means you're doing it right. So I don't really want to get into horseback riding.
Do you question if we should roast Tuukka Rask for forgetting the score, even though it didn't result in a goal?
Yes, our hockey coverage, best in the business. Here's Tuukka Rask in a tie game, mind you, against the Rangers. Let's see what we can happen about. All right. Oh, and there he goes. And he's gone. I'm not a huge hockey person, Sarah, but I believe that's the strategy when you're down in the final second.
Pull the goalie, extra man.
Yeah. The pull the goalie figure of speech I'm aware of from normal life tells me that's not a great idea in that kind of a situation.
All right, so we need an explanation. Explain yourself.
Well, I think we had the puck. I wasn't panicking at all. I was more laughing, actually, but definitely something that you want to do.
You were alone.
Oh, hey, it's an entertainment industry, I guess, and that's what we're trying to provide.
Nice spin.
Shock at first, pivot. Hopefully they got a good laugh out of that.
I'll give you another pivot here. This could mean a lot of things, but this year you could say he's pulling a Tom Brady. Remember, he didn't know there were fourth down. There you go. Championship.
Let me explain to you. Let me explain to you in zero words how somebody who's great can just forget the game situation.
I don't know what Tuukka Rask. I don't know what Tuukka Rask normally sounds or looks like, but he came out there with the attitude and the posture and the wardrobe of a guy who is definitely lying to you. Like, he brought out a scarf. He's covering his face with his hand.
What about the scarf says liar, Pablo? I don't understand this. I would purchase that scarf, and I feel like I don't want to anymore.
He is trying a little too hard to boost his credibility. He's above this. Oh, guys, it's just entertainment. It's
hand just on entertainment. The face, yes.
On Twitter, Bears Trade Mania featuring David Montgomery.
Sarah wasn't already crazed by the ideas that the Chicago Bears were in trade rumors for Carson Wentz. And involved in those trade rumors was the very popular running back Tariq Cohen. Now you have another Bears running back, David Montgomery, going on Twitter and doing this. Playing in Chicago has been fun, and I met some great people along the way.
Thanks,
two
Magic
exclamation
Johnson.
Points. Really hard to misunderstand that. Am I right? It seems like, wow, playing days in Chicago are over. It was fun. Met great people. Let's move on. Deuces. But he followed that up with this. Y'all took that completely wrong. It was not intended in the purpose of football. It has nothing to do with ball. I love Chicago, and I'm ready to be here for a long time and win a lot of games. Sarah, I would ask you, are you intrigued? But I want to ask you, did you just go nuts, really? Did this guy just move from the city to the suburbs and just scare all of Chicago?
Listen, I know exactly what happened. They probably told him he was part of a deal that wasn't done, but not to say anything yet because it wasn't finalized. And he went out and tweeted anyway, because this is a team, remember, in 1999 that announced Dave McGinnis as their new head coach. The only problem was Dave McGinnis hadn't signed the contract, and he was watching on TV when they announced that he was the new head coach, was none too pleased by that, didn't like the contract, never signed it, and never was the Chicago Bears head coach for any period of time. So this is not at all surprising to those of us who have to suffer through this team and its dealings for the entirety of our lives.
So you're telling me Carson Wentz is still a possibility. Can't wait for that to happen. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am very intrigued because, guys, I do actually, this is a good occasion for me to tell you guys this. Doing Highly Questionable has been fun, and I met some great people along the way. So,
I'm so sad to see you go, Pablo. Does that mean, is this your last show?
What do you mean?
This is your last show?
Not following.
God, that's bummed.
It's a good run. That I'm continuing.
Good run.
Has not ended at all. No, it's still has been and also remains. What are you guys not getting about this? I love doing the show. I'm still doing the show. I'm on the run that has been great and is still great for many days into the future. Clearly.
Wait, are you not talking about TV at all? Like, this isn't about TV?
We're on TV.
That's all the time we have for today. That's Sarah Spay, and that's What She Said podcast. You can catch that wherever you get your podcasts. And that's Pablo Churi, ESPN Daily, on The Daily.
Yes.
And that's Izzy Gutierrez. He's going to be on a boat in 5, 4, 3. See ya. See ya, Izzy.
Happy Thursday. That feels like a Friday.
Enjoy both of your vacations.